My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Teresa didn't raise no punk.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, Clint's out today, but Luke is in with us, and we're having a good time the first couple of hours here. We're going to finish strong for you as we're live here on The Drive. This is Dirty's Daily. And we always love your involvement, however you are listening to us. We appreciate it. You can jump on YouTube and Twitch and message there like our guy Joseph Goodridge is and Tommy and Brandon and the whole gang there. Shout out to Wesley Woosley as well. And you can hit us up on the text line as well, 713-572-4610.
Yeah, but Wesley said, I'm the guy that always says ass on the other show. That's Sean Bajani. People always confuse us.
So you get confused with Sean Bajani and now Nick Caserio as well?
Yeah.
Oh, and wow.
Tyler. And Tyler? This is clearly a white thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is a...
That's what the whites used to do.
Skinny white guy thing. There's no one confuses you with Patrick, right?
Not yet.
Or, damn.
No, I'm just saying. I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying.
PC getting the drive-by.
I was going to say Sean, too, and I was going to say Seth. Like, no one's confusing
you.
No,
not yet.
It's the skinny guy. The skinny. The Tylers, the Sean Bajanis, the Nick Caserio.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, what's up, cracker?
Did you really text him?
Yeah. They were it made sense. They were doing a segment about something to do with
I can practice. Honestly say, guys, I've never sent that text out.
That's good.
What's up? Saltine? I've never sent that one out. Never sent that one out. All right. That's not Sean Bajani. Wesley, it is our guy Luke. Luke, the people here, when I said to every listener, I want you to jump and join us. We'd love to see your thoughts and get your opinions on this. Is Jordan Love, who they play Sunday, is this the best quarterback that the Texans have faced this year? Like, we run them down. They started out with Anthony Richardson, then the rookie second game of his NFL career in Caleb Williams. He's looked much better here of late. Then they ran into was that Sam Darnold? Is that who got to him?
And yeah, then, that's who I got to watch kick the Texans' ass.
Tyler took the streak there with him. Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen and Drake May, which that was rough. But those are quarterbacks they face. So they face some good ones in there. But is Jordan Love the best that the Texans have had to face.
No, and I think we're splitting hairs, but based off of what D'Amico Ryan said, that is the question. Is he the best quarterback they've faced? I don't think so. I think that's insulting to Josh Allen. I would say that Josh Allen with these current weapons, that's a different conversation. I think the Packers' offense might be the toughest. I mean, look back at Sunday, their win against the Cardinals. I should have pulled this up in front of me, but I think it was like 9 guys had a catch and 7 guys had a carry, something like that. So, you know, this is the toughest offense they've had to face. But yeah. The best quarterback, which is the question? No, I think Josh Allen's a lot better. I take Josh Allen over Jordan Love. I think we're still freaking out over about a 10-game sample here for Jordan Love. I still need to see more long-term stuff. I think a lot of it's the system he's playing in. But no, I would put him second on the list of quarterbacks they've faced so far this year, including this upcoming game.
Yeah, no, it's not the best quarterback. I think it's the best offense, though. Right? I mean, even, like, yeah, I think it's better because, I mean, the Vikings, that's the scary thing about them. They're missing, they were missing, what's the receiver's name out of USC?
Yeah, Jordan Addison.
Yeah, they were missing Addison. He returned the next week, and they haven't had TJ Hawkinson
yet
either.
Yep.
So they're going to get strong. So I think this is, they've got 3 really good tight ends that they use a lot. And then they've got those weapons, those receivers where you never know who's going to get you for a big game. Watson, Reed, Dobbs is back to whatever it was that he was dealing with where he was suspended for a game.
Oh, yeah.
He's back in the fold, it looks like. And then they got Josh Jacobs out of the backfield who's really, really good. And then, like, we didn't know it when Aaron was there, but it's been very, very clear that – Matt LaFleur is a really, really, really good coach. And along the lines with Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings coach, a really, really good coach. So when you combine the weapons and the coach and the play caller, I think this is clearly the biggest test defensively for D'Amico Ryans and their defense. But I'm with you. Josh Allen is he's a top 2 or 3 quarterback in this league.
Unless we're talking concussed Josh Allen, which he appeared to be against the Texans and played terrible that game.
He was pretty bad.
Then that's a different conversation. But the Packers probably the toughest test, but no, Jordan Love's not the best quarterback that they'll have to face so far this year.
Yeah, that but we'll talk about that throughout this week. But you just got hell, Tyler. I just rattled off in my head. I just rattled off those weapons they have and what they can do. That is a large, large task. And that's why I say, boy, if you see the Texans kind of hang in this game and they're in this game, which I think they should be in this game. That's the kind of thing to our previous segment. That's the kind of thing that says, all right, yeah, I feel comfortable with that because. Quite frankly, they have better weapons than what the Vikings rolled in, and the Vikings just got and did whatever they wanted to do to you in that game. And if you're able to hang around and have some resistance and slow them down and stop them some, that will say a lot about this defense and this team.
Yeah, and plus, going back to the comparison, I mean, you got Josh Allen and that team in your building. Now you have to go out to Lambeau, which is obviously always a tough place to go. So we'll see. And to your point about Matt LaFleur, look, I think Rodgers was the guy holding him back, and now he's able to run the offense he wants, which is getting all of these guys involved and making Jordan Love look really good. So, yeah, much like Kevin O'Connell, you know, that's the test. Buffalo doesn't have that guy. Joe Brady is not on the level of LaFleur, and Kevin O'Connell is a play caller and organizing the offense. So we'll see come Sunday. Look, the last time the Texans had this record, they lost to the Packers, you know, in the next game. Last time they were 5-1. So hopefully they can exercise those demons Sunday.
You already said you don't like this spot. So we already know how you feel about this game.
I know.
Damn, man.
It's tough. And I hate the Packers. I hope the Texans go in there and bury them.
So you think the Packers will win this game? You think it's close?
Oh, yeah, it'll be close. But look, I think the Packers are a little – you look at the – everyone's talking about how good the NFC North is, and it has been, but there's only one team in that division that's beaten any teams with a winning record, and that's the Vikings. The Bears, Lions, Packers have yet to beat anybody with a winning record. So if you want to talk about, like, oh, the Texans, we still need to see more before we know they're legit, I got to say the same about the Packers. I need to see more from Green Bay. And when they played the Vikings, they were down 28-0 at home in the first half to the Vikings.
Their defense can be had. Mm-hmm. So this could be a shootout between these two offenses because their defense definitely can be had. All right, that'll be one we're talking about all week. But this is the best offense. I'd say going into it, this is the best offense they will face. All right, fellas, and I know Clint, I think he'll get into this more. Clint's out today as our guy Luke is in for him. I think there is a need for a come to Jesus meeting with Dalton Schultz.
I second that.
Not one of those. You know, there's a difference between, you know, hey, a conversation, you know, go over there and talk to your guy, to a, hey, I need to kind of get honest and serious with you. And I think Dalton needs to have one of those. He has played poorly the last two games, and it really sticks out in two different ways. It's one thing for me when I look at Dalton Schultz and say, you know what, man, he's not going to be real good when it comes to pass protection or being the lead blocker in things or blocking in general, because that's just not his strong suit. It isn't. I mean, he is a receiving tight end and a guy that can make plays in the passing game, a guy that made plays in the passing game, which led to the Texans bringing him back last year and paying him $12 million a year. So I can get the thought of, all right, he's not as good as you know, the physical part of the game. But one, he got to be better than he has been. And two, now because of how bad he was, they've had to redo a lot of the things that they were doing offensively, including going to go get Tegan Quatoriano and then just completely taking Dalton Schultz out of the position of putting him, you know, as a fullback role. That was then given to Quatoriano and Cade Stover. So they've had to change things. And then, Luke, it spread to him actually in the thing that he is paid and brought here to do. Now he's dropping ball. Now he's not getting in and messing up the timing of screens. Now he's not doing what he's supposed to. Like, he dropped multiple third downs, at least one third down, but multiple passes. At least one third down that should have extended a drive that, you know, gave some kind of faint hope to the Patriots. That game was never in doubt. But you got to catch the football. All right, you ain't going to block well. All right, I got it. But I'll be damned if you're going to come out here and not catch the football and not appear to be as focused as we need you to be. So that there needs to be a serious conversation with Dalton Schultz, because, I mean, if you ain't going to catch the football, there ain't no damn reason for your ass to be up out here.
Yeah, what are you bringing to the table? Yes. Now, look, I think all coaches, right, you get frustrated by, like, the mental mistakes. If he's not the best blocker in the world, okay, right, that's fine. You can readjust
the offense.
But you got to
give him some effort, too, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, right? But that's the part that frustrates you as a coach. And when you see him drop that ball on third down, there was another one where he kind of stopped his route. He did look lackadaisical. He looked like I know CeeDee Lamb did not have a good playoff game last year for the Cowboys, and people were saying, like, did he get bad news before? Like, he just looks
bad
out
body
of it.
Language. Yeah, yeah, he does have bad body
language. And Schultz
language.
Was the same way Sunday. Like, is something going on, like, personally or something? Like, he just looked out of it.
Shoulders slumped, like, yeah, just always on the sideline looking like he just smelt a turd. Like, what is it?
Okay, check.
Otherwise known as Eli Manning face.
Did he smell a turd? That may have been. Thought anybody have any information on that? Please text in if he did smell a turd. But we talked about this, Luke, a bit last week. It almost seems like he is just speculating. Like he is feeling some kind of way about his role, and he is a little annoyed about him turned into being a blocker in mm-hmm. this role of his. And I thought, Luke, all right, there's no Nico this week, and there's no Nico for the next 4 weeks, potentially longer, that he is now, his role kind of comes back. He's going to be more involved in the offense. And we knew Dalton Schultz, because Dalton Schultz ain't no fool. I mean, I don't know if he listens to the postgame show, but 2 weeks of the postgame show, it was all him. And it built up even more after the game Sunday against the Patriots in a 20-point win. I thought we would see a different version of Dalton Schultz, but you're right. His body language looked worse than it did in the game against the Bills.
Yeah.
And his play was worse, too, because he's dropping passes.
Yeah.
Like easy passes. Yeah. You expect for him to complete.
Yeah, he just, like, checked out mentally. And going back to the conversation about Super Bowl contenders, and I asked, you know, what more do you need to see? That was one of my, if I'm nitpicking, I want to see a little more production from a variety of options on offense. Like, without Nico Collins on Sunday, I thought, okay, this is perfect. Everyone can step up.
Yes.
And Stephon Diggs had a good game. Tank Dell got back into the mix. But the tight end position, 9 targets, only 4 catches, and I think 27 yards Sunday. Like, I need more, especially with the pay for Schultz and the expectations for him in the passing game. And that was his chance, like you said. When Nico Collins is out, the other guys need to step up. And I thought, okay, here we go. Schultz is going to get back in the flow again. And he had his chances. He just couldn't get his hands. Well, he got his hands on the ball. He couldn't bring it in cleanly. And so that's one of the concerns for this team. I want to see more production out of that tight end position, specifically Schultz. Now, to be fair, I will say this, and I know Clint usually goes over the All-22. He comes in on Tuesday with his takes. I did not look at the All-22, but I do believe Schultz did help open the holes on the two biggest runs of Sunday with his blocking there. So I will give him a tip of the cap there. The Damian Pierce run late in the game, and I think even the Joe Mixon run earlier, I believe Schultz helped. He was one of the blockers that opened up that hole. So I'll tip my cap to him there. But the effort in the passing game, the body language, everything, it looked like he had just checked out. It was poor. And I don't know if it's his role. You know, look, last year he was playing for his contract, got a contract. I don't know what the guaranteed money is. And yeah, I don't want to look at
comfortable.
I don't want to look in someone's pocket, but a lot, we've seen guys over the years, they get that contract, you get a little complacent as opposed to when you're working for that next contract and you have to grind day in and day out. But whatever it is, I mean, he's got to be better. That effort Sunday mentally and physically was not good enough.
Yeah, there's got to be a conversation, man. It can't be just like, hey, keep grinding, man. A pat on the back, like, keep grinding. No, man. Hey, it may lead with, yo, man, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, to me. What's going on? What can we do? Because you seem off. You don't seem yourself. And it's starting to bleed out onto the field. That was the third down. But I thought I'm listening to the game. I thought Andre Ware was – I thought he was going to lose it. He said something's off.
Put him up.
He said something's off with him. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him, and there's going to be opportunities with Nico out, and you know he's got to be able to come through for the Texans with that. So hopefully we see a better version of Dalton Schultz here coming up the next couple of weeks. All right, couple of crazy things, interesting things happening at the quarterback position in the NFL. We'll take a look at some of those teams that are 4-2 maybe. Replacing and benching quarterbacks in the NFL. So we'll get to that. And you got to pick one. Tyler's worst nightmare. You got to pick one. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Garrett Cole, who is not happy with his appearance, he's getting the ball tonight, game 2.
Ah, the old representative of himself, huh?
Yeah. I look at him.
Turd.
I look at him. I think he's happy with the money and stuff, obviously. But he's not wearing his hair or his facial hair the way that he wants to wear it because of those stupid rules that the Yankees have. So he doesn't look very happy with his appearance. But your favorite is he gets the ball tonight, baby.
Yay. Can't wait to not watch that. You about sneeze? Is that what that is?
No, man. They've got to stop this.
Yeah. You don't like watching it.
Dang it.
Did you see it?
I almost did. I came around. I just looked up. That Aiden Hutchinson injury, that I've almost gotten caught 2 or 3 times on social media. I've run across 2 different times where some asshat has it frame by frame, and it's like 4 frames, and I've just kind of scrolled through.
Hold on, so.
Scroll through social media, and it's like 4 frames of each stop into the break of the leg.
Oh, my God.
And I've been able to fly past it, and they just had it. Just 2 times in a row they showed it. I just don't – like, why are they showing it? Fox said Sunday, we're not going to show it. It was that bad. We're not going to show it.
ESPN said,
We will. Oh, my God. I can't. I used to have some sort of morbid interest in it until Willis McGahee. That was the ender. Because I watch it and I feel it.
Yes.
I feel it right now. Whoo. Man, I am sorry.
I think there are 3 types of people in regards to injuries specifically. Those that can watch it over and over again, no problem. Those that want to see it once and then like, okay, I don't ever need to see it again. And then the third are the types that can't ever see
it. Are you a see it once?
Yeah, see it once.
Someone texted in, Ray said, I admit I went looking for it, saw it once, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nope. No, oh, nope, can't do it.
Curious enough just to see it once. Then there are the sickos out there that just need to like keep watching it over and over. They enjoy it. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
I got to see it. What happened? Okay, don't never need to see it again.
No, I don't need a replay. No, I'll make everybody else in the house watch it. My son, he's 10-9, but he's been 8 or 9. I'm like, hey, check that out. It looks bad. It looks bad. And they're like,
Yeah.
No, yeah. Oh, Wesley said that Willis McGahee injury hurt my heart. Mm-hmm. His kneecap slid down.
Yeah, that one was gross.
I saw that lie. I said,
yeah,
I'm out, dog. I'm out, man. He tore it all up, but I'm sorry. Please get out of that. All right, Astros fans, baseball fans around here, you got to pick one. You got to pick one to win this whole thing. Yankees or Dodgers? You got to, if you have to have one to win it. If you have, because listen, both of them are 1-1, or no, I'm sorry, the Yankees are leading 1-0. They're trying to take a 2-0 lead behind former Astro pitcher and former representative himself, Gerrit Cole. They look to go up 2-0 in this series.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
Giancarlo Stanton, who cannot run, has been told just singles. He is going off and has been the reason why they're here. If you got to pick one, Yankees or Dodgers to win it all? I mean, it's the Dodgers, right?
I refuse to play this.
No, F you. You're the one who's got to play.
Dude, this is arguably the two most... despised franchises, not just in baseball, but across the board.
The Lord didn't say it was going to be easy, Tyler.
You're right.
All right. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, if you got to have one of them, win it. Someone text in back-to-back Yankees. Two different people, Yankees.
Oh, I can't.
It's the Dodgers, right?
It's the Dodgers for me, and I'll tell you why. They won one recently, even though it didn't really count.
No.
So... You know what? Just whatever. Shohei, I can be cool with that.
Yeah, they had some punchable faces, guys. They had
whole lineup.
Duke Blue Devil punchable face guys. Joe Kelly, I mean, he was asking for it. I mean,
punk ass.
Dusty, who, by the way, Dusty is really, I don't know if you've been watching. Him as a studio host, he is really into loud colors. I guess I don't know.
I'm from a different generation. Remember that.
I don't know if I remember that, but Dusty's in there just cracking up with some loud ass greens, some loud oranges. Like,
and
Dusty wears Easter suits every single time. It's like he got nothing but light color suits with loud colors. But he was the one, wasn't Joe Kelly the one he was yelling at? Get your ass back mound, punk.
Get on the mound, mother.
Yeah, yes, we did. They like Joe Kelly's gone. Who's the other? Who's the center fielder that was hated? He's with the Cubs now.
Bellinger?
Yeah, Cody. Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, he's a real asshat.
They got like Mookie Betts. He's hard to root against.
Yeah.
I like Mookie.
Freddie Freeman, good dude. No, I guess not. Okay.
No,
take
you're
it back.
Right. Freddie just had the thing with the son. So yeah, Freddie's a nice guy. I just don't like the way Freddie wears his pants. He hikes them up so high. His torso is the skinniest I've ever seen. True, that's just that's a personal true. Thing. But it's got to be the Yankees. Like you hate Aaron Judge. You like
the answer those is guys the Dodgers. Are, those I don't like it, still, but that's the answer.
Those guys are still there. Who are like and Gerrit Cole's on the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be text in the Dodgers. No, the Mets or the Guardians, and stop calling them the Indians, are not a, they're not a choice.
Now, I'm going to tell you, the answer fans are the worst.
Is a 1994 strike, no World Series at all.
There we go. Now we're thinking outside the box.
Someone said, I guess the Dodgers, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how
they
I feel.
No, I mean, you're not happy, but they are like, the Dodgers, who's a punchable face for the Dodgers?
All of them.
Dave Roberts? Dave looks like he's just hanging on, man.
How is he like still employed?
They keep winning. Not enough championships.
Enough to stay employed.
He's in the NLCS, damn near. every other year. Yeah, they don't have.
Was it Max? Jack Flaherty?
He's a bit of an ass.
Yeah, picking fights.
Yeah, but he was picking it with Manny Machado and Manny's kind of fair. Ass.
Yeah, like, pick your poison.
Max Muncy, I want to kick in the nuts.
Yeah,
I could kick Max Muncy in the nuts, but I mean not a lot. He just where's he? I mean, who's telling you to wear that swing with that stupid gray band?
Well, one thing that they both do have in common in a big way, and I'm not saying every single solitary human being that is a fan of these organizations is an asshat. But a lot of them are. A lot of them are. Their fans do a good job at making you very naturally sports hate these teams.
It's true.
You went to L.A. to sit at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And what, the best hot dog you've ever had?
Oh, dude, Dodger dogs are so overrated. So, I'm not even... That's no BS. That was not even a good ballpark dog. The Dodger dog tasted like ass.
The Dodger dog. Like ass. Dude. So that's a good one. Kiki Hernandez kind of has a punchable face.
I was going to say, he's the one guy I do like on the Dodgers.
I like him, but I can see how he could be. He's got a punchable face. Like, Shohei, man. I ain't going to lie to you, and I know, Tyler, you hated the many Houston fans. As a sports fan, I want to see those two in the World Series.
Who? Oh, those no. Two teams? Yeah,
I want to see Judge.
So does Major League Baseball. Yeah,
worst case scenario.
They're all right as long as the Guardians don't screw it up. But, like, I want to see Judge, Shohei, like, God, it's not even close. I just thought of it. Soto, I mean, they've got so many hateable guys that have specifically done things to the Astros. Soto. And that's stupid. Listen, as a Royals fan, I had about enough of him in those four games in the damn batter's box. I don't even want to hit him. I want to walk up and fight him. Hey man, you got one. I would yell it from the mouth. You got one more time to do that stupid ass shuffle and stare at me.
Yeah,
yeah. They got Soto, Judge, Garrett Cole out there. They got some guys that have specifically screwed over.
Who's your daddy?
The
now?
Astros.
One of your Royals guys stared down Soto after striking him out during that series. But, yeah, you know, and look, the thing, too, is, I mean, Judge has always been a terrible playoff hitter. And Otani's not doing great in his first postseason either. He struck out in almost half of his at-bats. So that's the big matchup, but neither guy has been all that great on the big stage so far.
Yeah.
Tall Asian guy.
Someone said, give me a Subway Series. Yeah. I know, I'm just saying.
That'd be fun, too.
You want to see the big guys in there. All right, coming up. An adjustment that I think Matt Burke and Nico and D'Amico Ryans need to look at making. We'll discuss that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper. And people yell.
Come on, move.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Clint's out. Luke is in the building. He has been with us, had a lot of fun today. Stay with us as we continue to roll through here on The Drive. And usually, you know, the strategy is to kind of form this in a question and form it in a question to the people. Sometimes you just you can't form it in a question. Sometimes you just got to let people know how the hell you feel, and then they can react and respond off of it.
Hold on, show.
No, Cal, it's run. And in this occasion, I think I'm going to go with the latter. And I know some people may agree or disagree. That is why you have your choice to express that, agree or disagree. I think it is at least a conversation. And this is where I stand on this. I think D'Amico and Matt Burke need to make an adjustment. And I think they need to make an adjustment on Derek Stingley.
Tiger, but now you're a Texan, man.
Yes, I think Derek is one of the most important players on this team. I think he is a top, you know, 3-4 defensive player on this team, and a guy they have to have. But fellas, I think they've got, especially with the offenses and the quarterbacks coming up. When you look at Jordan Love, when you look at, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and now they've added Devontae Adams to go along with Wilson, and you look at Detroit coming up, and you look at Dallas, and you look at, you know, maybe you shouldn't include Dallas, but you look at, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. You look at the guys they got coming up, Baltimore a little further back. Tua could be back with the Dolphins by the time they play the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Waddle. And in Kansas City, and you know, they've got court and they've got offenses that are coming down. I think they got to stop treating him like he's a shutdown corner. And we saw him get beat last week, and look, that was coming. I mean, he has kind of gotten away with some times where he's gotten beat. Big time. I know I said it last week that the Texans have this uncanny ability defensively to force overthrows by quarterbacks with wide open receivers streaking down the field for touchdowns. Some of those have been on him. And to me, the game plan of him bump and run coverage with no help behind him on receivers, I don't think that's a good game plan. And listen, I think he is a top, you know, 10 corner in this league and can grow to get better. But right now, to me, just because it seems at times, Luke, it seems like they have him like he's on Stingley's Island, like he's Darrell Revis by himself. And I don't think he's to that point yet to where you're seeing it, because we've seen this multiple times. Mitchell in game one beat him twice. or beat him once where they couldn't connect. We saw Pierce get down the field on him. We've seen, obviously, we saw Boutte connect on him. We've seen other players get open on him. And with better quarterback play, better receiver play, to just have him locked on, almost shut down, like with not a lot of help, I don't know if that is where it is best for their defense to do that with. So I think that's an adjustment through the first six games that I've seen. That Derek Stingley, yes, a top 10 corner in this league, one of their better players. I just like bumping, like he was in bump and run coverage, Luke, with no help, with what, 30 seconds left, whatever that was in the half. Like, I don't think we're to that level with Derek Stingley. So I think maybe there's an adjustment that should be made to not just treat him like he is a standalone, shut down corner. Not many in the league that are that. Like Patrick Surtain or something. Like, I don't think they should be treating him like that. Because I think they've gotten away with it, but I think they could get hurt by some of the quarterbacks they're going to be dealing with.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't mean he's bad. He's just not at that level. You know, Pro Football Focus, which is not the be-all, end-all, but it's just a good point of reference. It's another data point. They have ranked as the 19th best cornerback so far this year based off of performance. That's not some sort of shut-down top cornerback in the league. He does need to play better. And, you know, if we're nitpicking, for me, for the Texans, that is one of my concerns on the defensive side of the football, is the explosive plays that they've allowed. Entering Sunday, they were top 12 in explosive pass plays allowed. And then, as you mentioned, I mean, they could be much higher on that list if Trevor Lawrence could hit an open receiver, or even Caleb Williams missed some guys. They've been fortunate in that area. And then Sunday against Drake May, not only the play you mentioned that went for a touchdown, but you're facing a rookie quarterback in his first start, and I believe he had three completions of 30 yards or more.
Yeah.
On that defense. So the explosive nature of the defense, they're allowing too many explosive plays, specifically in the passing game, and a lot of that falls on Derek Stingley. And the other thing too is that the Texans are top five in pressure rate, which should be helping these defensive backs, and yet we're still not seeing that correlation with the amount of open space they've given to some receivers downfield in those explosive plays. So I do think he needs to play better. And I don't think he's on that level where you're comparing him to a Darrell Revis or the top corners in the league or top corners historically. He could get there. Look, he's only played, I think, what, 26 games now? He's still so young. Based off of games played, this is his second year because of those injuries. So, you know, he's a guy that could still get there, but I don't think he's there yet. And you might be fast-forwarding a little bit too much by treating him in this defense like you have that shutdown corner. That's too much to be put on the plate of him and that young corner that you had, two young corners that you have there. And so I'm with you. I agree with you. And that's the biggest issue for me with this defense, is just the explosive plays they've been giving up, and in part maybe because they're just leaving them on an island.
Where are you at? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, where are you at? I think coming into the year, they viewed Derek Stingley, at least by their actions of how they've played him, as a shutdown, standalone, sometimes he follows guys type of corner that they can leave without help. I think that is an adjustment they need to make. I think they should probably play more straight up. And yes, you understand what that could mean, and how if you got a guy that could just shut down the receiver he's on, where you could allocate the other resources, and how that can help the rest of the defense. I think they're getting hurt, and the potential for them to get hurt could be even bigger. Their big play potentials, that odds are that the quarterbacks that they're going to see coming up could exploit that more than the guys they've seen before. A couple coming in. Ron, you're saying all that, name his replacement. Again, I didn't say he needs a replacement. I've said that I think he just needs to play more straight up. And you should treat him closer to what you did last year, closer to how you do with Kamari Lassiter. I just think leaving him by himself, damn sure not press coverage, 30 seconds left in the half against the Patriots with no help behind you. All right, I damn sure think that is the case. No, I don't. Someone texted in, agree, Ron, 100% agree, Ron. But I think D'Amico is willing to give up big passes. I don't know. And the thing is, your front gives you the ability to be able to do it, right? I think the Texans, especially, they'll get Autry back. I think the Texans can get pressure without having to blitz all the time, right? And I know that's what that's what it allows you to do is if, hey, I got him taking away one guy, I can blitz and do it. But I just I don't think he's okay with the big plays, because if that big play gets completed to Mitchell against the Colts, they may win the game. They lost by two, right? If that big play gets completed, some of those big plays get completed in Jacksonville, like they win the game, or you know what I'm saying, in tight games like that. So yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying he needs to be replaced. He's still the best member of your secondary, but I don't think he's to that level to where leave him alone. He's got it no matter who he's on.
Which is why the first thing I had said was, doesn't mean he's bad, because that's how a lot of people take it. You know, there's levels to it, and he's in that in-between where he's not certainly not a bad player, but he's not that shutdown corner. But I disagree with what I guess was on the text line. Someone who ever said that give up the big plays, I think that's the last thing you ever want to do is give up the big plays. You always want to keep the ball in front of you, which is why we have this whole too high safety drama in the NFL this year. It's all about keeping that ball in front of you, and that's been the problem with the Texans, is that they've allowed too many of those explosive plays. Now, you took the words out of my mouth with Denico Autry coming back, another talented pass rusher that you hope, with just those three guys up front, you should be able to get enough pressure where you don't have to blitz, and you can leave some of that help in the secondary. And then you also look at the matchups the next 2 weeks where there isn't that guy that you need to focus on. Like when you face the Packers on Sunday, certainly. And then I would say even the Colts, I don't think Michael Pittman is on that level of like, no, we need Stingley to shut this guy down. So these next 2 weeks, it's interesting timing now in that you get Autry coming back, and your next two opponents, there isn't a Justin Jefferson or there isn't a Garrett Wilson or CeeDee Lamb where we got to take this guy out of the equation. So you might not have to lean on that type of style of defense. You can have him not shadow somebody but roam around and see how things work the next couple of weeks. And then I'll also say too, is I remember like Xavier Rhodes was a guy who hated matching up with somebody. He wanted to be on the same side of the field. Yeah. And so I don't know if there's something – I never played defensive back in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if there's something – shocking, I know. I don't know if there's something to that where for Stingley, like, it's almost making his play suffer because he's just more comfortable staying here the whole game instead of following somebody around.
Yeah. A couple of texts rolling through. Stingley, it looks like a minor issue compared to Petrie in coverage. Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, I agree with that. Y'all sound crazy. Sting is great. He is just fine. Y'all need to watch more football. They all get best. They're going up against other pros. Yeah. Okay. I mean, for you,
I'll go watch more football. Thanks.
I'm just saying, if you've watched Derek Stingley and thought, yeah, just keep him on an island. I mean, you're entitled to that opinion. I think they've gotten away with some things, and they didn't get away. Like I think if they do that, I think Jordan Love would take advantage of it.
Oh yeah, he's good throwing the ball downfield.
Just that. Someone text in, leave him on an island. He needs growth, and will be better for it in the postseason. Okay, that's an interesting thought. Seems like Stingley tries to bait the quarterback, and you just can't get away with that with the talent at this level. So some mixed thoughts on this thing. Coming here, someone just texting, the Packers can burn Stingley with Watson and Reed, coming from our listener Ocho. And he'll win some plays too. I'm just saying, like, I think some help. Some help at some times, or at least, hey man, if you're going, if you don't have help over the top, like, we're not going to put you in bump and run,
right?
yeah,
you know, maybe they learned their lesson.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe it is. So I think he's still a great player.
Yeah,
and somebody you can roll with. But like, I mean, like you said, man, he's, what is he, barely top 20 in terms of his grade in PFF?
Yeah, 19th. That's, you know, that's not a shutdown Darrell Revis type of corner, not yet at least.
Yeah. So and he can get better from that, but I think putting them in the best positions possible. And like you said, maybe they learn from that. All right, a little 5 o'clock fire coming up as we continue here. The Astros getting some potential postseason awards. We'll let you know about that. And big moves, big trades happening in the NFL that could affect the AFC that the Texans live in. We'll discuss all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.